Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. Part of the JC Hawk Sports Network. Tune in tonight to hear news about the Tennessee Thunder and the USWFL. Listen live every week on Blog Talk Radio or catch our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many others. Just type in JC Hawks Radio in the search box.
All right. Welcome back to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. Hey, glad to be back on here tonight. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody liked the Super Bowl outcome. I'm sure a lot of people didn't. I know BJ didn't. She was pulling for the Eagles. But what a game. I'm just glad to see it was a good game for a change, man. I'll tell you, these Super Bowls, they get a lot of hype. Sometimes they can be really one way. And I was glad to see it was a really good game for a change. And, you know, I've never been a fan of the Eagles, and I don't know that coach, but I'll tell you this, I like the way that guy coaches. He's all wide open, taking chances, all aggressive and that kind of stuff. And I would bet that if you talk to him after the game or now, as aggressive as he was the whole game going for it on fourth down, the one time that they punted, really come back to bite them in the butt. I'm not sure, you know, if it was he was just trying to play field or what, but they had I think at that point in time was when the game really changed. The guy got a big punt return, and then we know what happened. We got, you know, the officiate, of course, you know, you hear about that call at the end of the game. And, you know, my thing is always this. Well, of course, we sat there and watched the whole game. But I thought there was all kinds of calls that went the Eagles' way throughout the game. And, you know, and they benefited them as they were driving, especially on one touchdown drive. And then, you know, they're saying, oh, they should have let that go. Well, here's the thing. And I'll ask anybody out there, and if anybody wants to message me or call in or whatever, that's fine. I'd like to hear their output if they got some. But if it's a penalty, the ref shouldn't even be looking at the clock at that point. If it's a penalty, in my mind, it's a penalty. Now, it was a penalty. Now, I ain't going to tell you it was a huge penalty, but it was a penalty. And with that being said, that you shouldn't say, oh, the refs decided that game. Well, you know what? There was some controversial calls on challenges and first one thing another that I didn't think was there. And that's all part of the game. So, you know, with that being said, I don't think that the refs cost the Eagles the game in any kind of way. I think that they cost themselves the game. You know, that's just sort of what I think. And I know, you know, as a coach, you want to get on those refs. And listen, I do. I've been throughout before because of that. And, you know, from getting on them. And they don't like it at all, and I'm sure they don't. But you know what? If it's a penalty, it's a penalty. And I thought that it was a penalty. And like I said, it never had no bearing on what I think was the game. I think that, you know, I mean, it would have given Philadelphia an opportunity with more time to drive down the field. But now also, you think of this, Philadelphia had to use a timeout because they'd done took one delay a game, and they had to use another timeout on a critical drive to keep from taking another delay of the game. So, you know what? They sort of created that themselves. So, I know it's controversial, and I know that it's going to be talked about a lot, but nevertheless, it was a great game. I was for the Chiefs. I liked the outcome. You know, what's funny is this, is I love how people always seem to think, these fantasy football people and people like that, they always think they know so much more about football than everybody else. And we go in to where we watch the game, and they had a little Super Bowl party, and we went at the VFW in Johnson City. We go over there and support them a lot, take our team and players and different things, sing karaoke on Friday and Saturday night. We have a lot of parties, birthday parties and stuff there for different players, and we distributed our championship rings there. And so we go over there, and they had a good crowd. They always have a lot of friendly people. And so anyway, we go, and this guy's sitting there, and he's talking. He says he's got $600 bet on the game. I'm like, whoa. And he's like, yeah. He said, I got $600 on the Eagles. He said, I think they're going to blow them out. He said, I don't even think it'll be close. I said, well, if it's close, I don't think the Eagles will win it. If it's a blowout, I think the Eagles will win it. And he's like, yeah, but you know what? The Chiefs haven't seen a defense like the Eagles. And I'm like, yeah, you're probably right, but the Eagles ain't seen an offense like the Chiefs have either. And he was looking, he's sort of scratching his head, and he's like, yeah, well, you might be right. Well, as the game unfolds, you know, and the Eagles take a big lead, they control the ball, and again, on one of those drives, a penalty that I didn't think was much of a penalty either, but it was a penalty, kept that drive alive. And so they were way lopsided on time of possession. So they kept the ball for a really long time. And so the score was, they were leading at 10 at half, you know, and this guy's all, you know, sort of bowed up, and, you know, it's going like he thought. And, you know, I thought that, you know, the aggressiveness of the play call from Nick Sirianni or whatever his name is would probably come down to be a major part of the game. I really thought that him being an aggressive guy would for sure benefit the Eagles. And as the game unfolded, I was right. It was. But then, you know, the Chiefs come right out after half, and they sort of get aggressive, and they get a touchdown. And, you know, then all of a sudden that the pressure falls back on to the Eagles, and then they punt. Well, anyway, so then he starts saying, boy, I'll just tell you, I figured that, you know, the Eagles, I'm like, man, I thought if they won, it would be a blowout. But, you know, it just amazes me that it unfolded the way it did. He got up and left, and him and his boy didn't even tell his wife bye. You know, she was behind the bar serving drinks and stuff, and he got up and left and didn't even tell her bye. That's how mad he was. But my point being is, you know, all these people claim to watch all this football and listen to all these people and the analysts, they pick the Eagles, you know. And, hey, man, anything can happen on any given game day. That's just the way it is. But my point is, you know, people just think they know more than everybody else. And when you get down and you start learning and teaching and coaching the ins and outs of football, you realize that you can't just rely on what all these people are saying and thinking and all that. Now, the Eagles had a great season, and they're a really good football team. And if they played that game again this Sunday, they might win it. I think it was a pretty good even match, and I think they were two great teams. But you know what? They punted. They kicked the field goal, and I think that really hurt them, you know, down the stretch. Well, they punted twice. They got pinned deep on penalties at one time. And so, nevertheless, it was a great game. And I was glad to see that for a change. I mean, if the Eagles would have won, I wouldn't have been that mad, because I really didn't care, but I was for the Chiefs. But one good thing about pro football is the XFL starts this coming weekend. And I did hear on the radio I had to help a friend of mine out. I had to take a trip for him. The guy got really bad sick, and he called me to bail him out, and I went and helped him out. As I was listening to the radio, they had one of the head coaches of one of the XFL teams on there. And one thing I like that they're doing is all the teams are at a hub place in Arlington, Texas somewhere, and they all practice there. And then when game time, they will fly into wherever they're going to play, play the games, and then they all go back to that one place. I really like that concept. There's other things that I like about it. And if I understood correctly, that they're going to have one challenge. The team is going to have one challenge per game to challenge anything they want to challenge. Any referee calls, or you know, what they might think is a bad call, a play, spot of the ball, anything like that. From what I understand, they're going to have a challenge to challenge anything. Also, what if I understand correctly, that every single play is going to be under review real quickly and can stop at any point in time to go over it. And, you know, they got their extra point situation is, you know, from the 3-yard line or the 5-yard line, it's one. From the 10, it's two. And from the 15 or something like that, and they can run it in. I didn't really get all the graphics about it, but there's lots of things that I did really like that, you know, they're just not going with the same old, same old. What drew my attention to it was they kept talking about, you know, how much of this is the NFL going to be watching. You know, the NFL likes to let everybody else do all the stuff, and then they implement it in theirs. And, you know, I think that's going to be huge. I think, you know, my opinion, you ought to be able to challenge a lot of these referee calls. And, you know, so some of them are bad. And listen, it's hard to ref a game, especially those games. Those guys are so fast, and everything happens so fast you can't really keep up with it. So I think it'll be good to watch. And then I don't know what kind of different rules the USFL. They start in April, and they're going to be on Fox again. And I've seen that Howie Long and Michael Strahan are going to be the main announcers for that. So there's going to be plenty of football coming along, and I really like watching these people, watching these guys play. They're really hungry. We've seen a lot of good, and there was one guy that played, and I can't remember his name. I'm terrible at remembering those guys' names because I don't watch them enough, but he made the Pro Bowl. He was on one of the USFL teams last year and made the Pro Bowl and had a great year in the NFL. So there's guys out there that just, you know, maybe didn't have a good combine or for whatever reason they didn't see him or they didn't fit in. And so I like watching this. I really do. Now, I mean, I like watching any level of football. I mean, like, I can go to single-A high school game or middle school game or anything like that, and I can enjoy that just as much as I can an NFL game. Even though I don't usually know anybody there, I can still really enjoy that. So any level of football, I like. And, you know, these guys getting an opportunity to show what they want. They got the coach they had on. He had won the Super Bowl, I believe it was with St. Louis. I'm not real sure. I was just thinking and trying to drive and listen and really take it all in, and I didn't get it. But he had won was on a Super Bowl team that coaching, and they'd won one. And so, you know, they're going to have good coaching. They're going to have coaches that know what it takes to make the NFL and what it takes to get to that level. And, you know, we'll see if they can do it. Now, you know, I'm sure there's not no Tom Brady or Peyton Manning on any of the teams, but then again, you know, who knows? So we'll see. But I'm glad that they're both coming back. You know, the XFL tried and failed, and I guess since The Rock got involved, that they figured out that financially this having one hub place from the practice and workout seems to be financially a better deal than spreading them around. So that's going to be great to get that football back. Another thing is during the Super Bowl, did you see that let me see if I can find here Utah Girls Football League. That's what it is. They had a commercial during the Super Bowl, and I missed it somehow. I don't know if I was getting me something to eat or going to the bathroom or what, but it's from fourth grade up and on. And I'll tell you, man, that's a great, great thing for these young girls and young ladies. And, you know, and we're trying to, in our league, trying to help these girls get started at a younger age. You know, they can play at 15 as long as they're 15 the year that you're playing. And, you know, I wish there was something like that around here for them. We have people talk about it, but, you know, that's all I hear is talk. It takes a lot to get it done. I mean, it just takes a lot of effort. I mean, and I think the help would be there. I mean, those people did it. I mean, they went out on a limb and did it. And they grew it. And, man, it seems to be going good. And you just think of this. I'll just tell you right now, if I was in Utah, I'd be recruiting all of them. You know, I'd really be going over there and watching them. I'd be trying to, you know, get them signed up and play for my team. So I was glad to hear that they were in the Super Bowl commercial. I didn't get to see the commercial. Jennifer didn't see it live, but she did finally see it, I think, while she was working out at the gym. But how cool was that? And, you know, if there's people that don't watch sporting events all year long that watch the Super Bowl, you know, that's just amazing to get a commercial in there. Now, these other commercials, just think of this, folks. They cost so much commercial during the Super Bowl to take that money and fund all the women's teams in the United States for a whole year. Just think of that. That's amazing, isn't it? That just blows me away that we can't get the help we need and a lot of what these girls deserve, but they will pay it on a commercial just for people to see during the Super Bowl. You know, that sounds absurd to me, really, and sad. And I get it. You know, I really do get it because, you know, I talked to people, guys, that, you know, we're going to hopefully be working on some good stuff to come out with here before long. And we're all in agreement on, you know, what's holding women's football back. And it's a lot of the stuff that's happened before that I got involved and before they got involved or as they were getting involved. And then a lot of it has to do with these girls. I mean, the seriousness of them. I mean, you take like some of these teams that are in the league, you know, they start out with 40 and they're down to 30 or 25, you know, then you get, you have all these tryouts and shoot for, you got 20 some new girls show up at a tryout and now you're 6 weeks into practice and there's maybe three or four of them 20 that's left. After you done had a bunch of hard practicing, it just seems like there's just enough serious people to keep these teams alive. There's not enough serious people all the way around on these teams to take that next step. We take two steps forward and three steps back. And it really is sad. It's killing the sport. And, you know, we've had at the Thunder team, we've had a bunch of girls quit, and I mean some really good players quit. And, you know, they played for a lot of other teams, and, you know, you wonder why those teams couldn't win. And when you see these girls practice and perform, you're like, wow. But then, you know, they've been to two or three practices, and then all of a sudden they just quit, you know. And I'm like, if you're a, how do you just quit something you love? I just can't get that through my head, and I've never been able to. And, you know, I know when I was a kid, it wasn't acceptable. That was not the answer. The only way that if you started a sport that you wouldn't be able to continue is if you failed in school. So now it's just so easy to sign up and I'm going to play, and then now I think I'll just quit. And, you know, you don't realize what kind of impact it has on not just the team but the sport in general. Because essentially, you know, you take away from experience and all that stuff from a team, and then you leave them with, you know, a bunch of young players that's really not ready to play, but they're going to be forced to play because, you know, you got veterans or other girls that, you know, just decide all of a sudden that they can't play. And listen, it happens all over women's football. I mean, I talk to several coaches and owners every single week, and I would bet you that between the seven teams that we have in the USWFL, that there's just since practice started, between the seven teams, I bet you we combined lost 100 girls. Crazy. I mean, that's since practice started. And I can understand tryouts, people coming, and, you know, once you tell them, you know, when you tell, what I've noticed is when you tell these girls that you want them to commit to practice, commit to being there, commit to being a football player, that's when it's like, you know, that's one thing. But once you start practicing, I mean, once you invest in equipment, once you invest in that team and you start being there, and then all of a sudden it's just that easy to bail out. I don't get it. But to me, that's a big part of what's holding women's football back from taking the next step is the lack of seriousness. You know, you got teams that jump in leagues at the last minute and having to reschedule games after schedules have been out, this kind of stuff. All that kind of stuff is just – it just kills football. You know, that's the one thing I can say about the XFL and the USFL is I like the fact that they've got six or eight teams. I'm not sure about the XFL. I guess they have eight too. But the USFL's got eight. And they make it work perfect. And that's exactly how it needs to be done. 8, 10, 12 teams at the most would be perfect for that scenario. I mean, just look, NFL only got 32, and they got them all over the place, you know, and spread out. So you don't have to have all these teams to make a great league. You just got to have a bunch of great people around and on these teams to make a great league. And that's where I think we're all missing the boat when it's just so easy to move from this league to the next because you don't like what's going on. And I get it. But do it during the off season, you know. Don't wait till the schedules are out or during, you know, it's about to start and you do it. But I can say this, for the Alabama Fire leaving the WNFC to go to the WFA, and I don't know what happened, but the Mississippi, I guess it's a royalty, they got a heck of a defensive back, left the Alabama Fire, and she joined their team. And I've watched her play for several years, and then she was on our team at the AFE All-Star game in Orlando. And she's a really, really good player. She's also a Mississippi State trooper. And I told Jennifer I bet she would go there. And Jennifer told me the other day that she finally had went there. So, yeah, I get it. You know, I wish that we could figure it all out. I think we got too many people at the top, you know, wanting to be the boss and wanting to be the main dog, and everybody's pulling and instead of getting together and trying to figure it out as a whole. I think that really hurts us. I think it'll continue to hurt us until somebody can take the step and be the next team to be the next league that can do something like the XFL or the USFL, you know, and that takes bukus of money and, like I said, lots of stuff to pull it off. But, hey, anything's possible, and I wouldn't, you know, discount it plumb out. But, nevertheless, that's what my opinion, what's happening. And we see it all the time, so it's not surprising to me. I did get a message that said the guy from the USFL, he's a kickoff guy for Dallas, okay? Well, he made the All-Star, or made the Pro Bowl, and he had a huge impact in the Pro Bowl. Because I watched him. That guy's fast as lightning. He kept him on defense and had him blitzing the quarterback because they could only blitz certain times, and they had him in there. And he had a heck of a game playing that. He's really fast. So, you know, there's think of this, Kurt Warner. If anybody remembers Kurt Warner, he was stocking grocery shelves at a grocery store, and they found him. And now look, he's in the Hall of Fame, Super Bowl winner, Hall of Fame. It's just unbelievable, you know, of how things happen that you never know until, you know, right time, right place. You know, I've seen players that I thought, well, you know, they couldn't play here. And then, you know, then I've seen them for, hey, they could, you know, they could play here. So, you know, different timing. I mean, you know, you get certain players each year. You get certain breaks. You find a coach that fits that style. All this is why these guys, they're doing all this, you know, to give these guys an opportunity and to give people football. I mean, I heard people calling in on these shows talking about, you know, they're glad the NFL's over because of where it came, and I'm with them. And, you know, finally going to get to watch some real football. Now, I don't know how much realer the football can get than, you know, than NFL. I mean, they're good, and it's good. But nevertheless, they, you know, it has become a, I won't say exactly what I want to say, but it's become out of control. I can tell you that. You know, and I don't like it. I like football, but I don't like what it's become. One thing, getting back to women's football, the Tennessee Thunder, they're having for a fundraiser. They got stuff online, a fan call. You can go on there. There's a link with all the apparel pinned up. Tennessee Thunder women's tackle football team. You can order, I presume. I'm getting instructions to say that stuff right. So I guess you can order. There's lots of nice stuff on there. I did see it, by the way, which I'm going to get me some kind of sweat pullover thing that I really, really liked on there. But it's a fundraiser for the Thunder, and they got a lot of cool gear, and it's a way to be able to get some team gear without having to, most of these places you got to order so much to be able to get stuff printed, made. So this is a good opportunity if you're a Thunder fan to go on there and get you some Thunder gear and help the Thunder team out. As you know, getting ready to start the year is just 6 weeks away. It's crazy. You know, it just seems like it don't seem too long ago that we played in July. So 6 weeks away, we're a week and 2 days away from scrimmaging, going to Columbia, South Carolina to scrimmage the South Carolina Danes. You know, for all you people, that's a WFA team. We're in the USWFL. We'll see what happens. You know, everybody talks about how great the WFA is, and they do have a lot of great teams. But we'll see what happens. Like I said, we'll talk about it again next week, but I may have some players on to talk about it and see what their input is. But we definitely will we'll have some input after the game. And I may get somebody to go live. We got a deal set up now to where we can broadcast games through this show, and I may get somebody that goes with us to take my phone and get on there and do a live broadcast and just talk about who's got the ball and what we're doing and all that. Keep some people updated. I know BJ, she likes to hear it, listen what's going on, and be great. Now, I'm for sure going to do it to Jamboree when after the Thunder plays their two games, then the South Carolina plays Huntsville, so I'm definitely going to do it that game. And I'll get, if I can get somebody to do it, I'll get them to do our two as well. But we're going to do a lot of, hopefully I can find somebody to do it. Maybe at every game we have is we can go live and at least keep up with what's going on a little bit, broadcast it, and then people that can't make the games can tune in. I know there's Jennifer works with a lot of people that like to tune in and listen, and when it's live stream, go on there and watch it. So that'd be, it's going to be great. Good idea we'd come up with, so real happy about that. But, you know, and I'm telling you, it's women's football is right around the corner. And I'll tell you, I'm ready. You know, it's, I say every year this might be my last year, but it's really looking like it is. It just, this stuff just wears on me so heavy about all these people just come and go and sign up, play, and you have conversations after conversations with them about, you know, hey, this is what it takes. This is what it endures. And it's a grind. There's no doubt about it. And it's a grind for me because I care more than anybody else, and that shouldn't be, you know, and it takes a toll on me. And every year I have to really dig deep, because when I'm in, I'm in. And I mean, that means I'm in 100%, 100% of the time, not part-time, not sometime, all the time. And you know what? It just gets harder and harder and harder to muster up to, you know, to get that drive in me every year. And I know, you know, I may not be able to when it comes down to it because I love the game so much, but I don't love the aspect of these players coming and going. It really just tears me up, drives me crazy, because you put in so much work with them, you know, so much hard work. And I look at it like this is, you know, all the time that I put in, players that have quit the last three weeks practices, I could have been putting in somebody else that really needs it as well, you know. And with that being said, shoot, you know, they'd be that much further along. And not saying I ain't trying to get everybody ready, but when you got these people and you're planning on them being starters for you and stuff, and you put in all that work, man, it's just, I'm telling you, it's disheartening for me especially. And it really takes a toll on me because I'm a huge practice person. You know, I believe the philosophy from Tuff Cooper, and he's a world champion calf roper, and he says if you like to win, you better love to practice. And I firmly believe in that. And football is the one game that it takes so many people on the field at one time to play that you have to practice a lot. You have to get that rhythm. You know, you hear it in the NFL. I mean, they bring in new guys or starters get hurt, and because the backups haven't had the reps, a little time is off. And those guys are the best in the world, you know. So the time is off. So just think of this. Women, they're already far behind because of their knowledge. And then we don't get to practice every day like they do. Then you're that far behind. Then you miss a practice. There's no way to make up a team practice. That's the kind of step that just really, really sets on me. And I have a hard time with it. I mean, I know every year I deal with it, and every year I say the same thing, but it still don't make it any better, and it still don't make you feel any better. And listen, I know every team goes through it. Like I said, I talk to coaches and owners on a weekly basis, and they're all going through the same thing. And it's just unfortunate. You know, it just really is. And you know what? And I bet you that 95% of it has nothing to do with people's work getting in the way. It's just other stuff, you know. And I'm the type of guy that if you're in it, you're in it. And if you're not, you know, you're just going to be in something all the time, pick up golf, go play with your buddies every now and again, ride around on a golf cart, drink a lot of beer, whatever golfers do. You know, that's sort of the way I look at it. But I'm not one of those guys. I've never been, you know, and anything I do, I want to win. I want to be serious. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't like to be embarrassed. But that's the way it is. I just think that's one thing that's really holding us back. But it, you know what? In 6 weeks, I won't even be thinking about all that unless we unless we lose a lot more players in the meantime. But I am looking forward to the season getting started. Really am. I'm probably as excited as I've been. A lot of it's because I was laid up for so long, couldn't do anything, and you know, they actually had a tryout without at least one, maybe more. I can't remember. Yeah, they had two tryouts that I couldn't even go to. So, you know, we're a little bit behind as far as me being with these girls enough to get them on the same page. And then, you know, some of them quitting and a lot of them being out sick. I mean, this stuff just a dominoes effect. But I'm excited about it. Like I said, I talked to these owners and coaches in the league here, and they're really excited to get started. I know one of the games a week when the Thunder's off, we're going to go to Cincinnati and watch Cincinnati. They're hosting the Detroit Prowl, and I'll try my best to do a broadcast live of that game. I know each team is going to live stream a home game, and maybe all of them. Maybe a lot of the teams, they'll live stream every home game. I know the Thunder will. I think South Carolina is. I think RVA is. And I think Detroit is. And I hadn't got to talk to the Cincinnati team in Michigan about it. But they're going to do at least one. The league's taking care of that, wants them to do at least one home game. So that would be great if they – you know, if they can live stream every game, get everybody an opportunity to see different teams play on different days. And so I like it. But I will, when I go to that game, I will try to broadcast live that as well. You know, we're talking about the Chiefs and the Eagles game. I heard them talking on Mahomes and them on their celebration ride through the city, and I think they said it was, I forget how many people showed up. I don't want to throw a figure out there, but beaucoup of people showed up, and they were saying that, you know, all the people said that before the year started that Kansas City couldn't win it. They'd lost too many players, and they were in a rebuild year and all this. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes is on there saying, well, just think what happened if we ain't in a rebuild year. You know, he wins the MVP and the Super Bowl MVP, only the second person to do that. And I think Kurt Warner, if I'm not mistaken, was the last person to do that. And, you know, you go from a guy that's stocking food at a grocery store, and he's not only a Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl MVP, but a NFL MVP. Man, that's unbelievable. You know, and it's really, it just puts things into perspective that if you're given the right opportunity and you take advantage of it, how things can go. And I want to tell you about, you know, was talking about the game, and I know I'm just sort of all over the place tonight. I really haven't had a lot of, I didn't have any time to prepare. I usually are really prepared and have a lot of stuff, but a lot of things just been running through my head. But you talk about how the Super Bowl went, how anything can happen. We just look at this in college basketball. University of Tennessee was ranked 6. Missouri comes in there and beats them, okay? Then Missouri, the very next game, gets blew out by some scrub team by like 30. Tennessee falls to 10th. Number one Alabama comes in last night. I heard them say this on the radio. Even though Tennessee was 10th and Alabama was ranked number one, Tennessee was favored. And Tennessee ends up beating them by like 11 or 12. They're ranked number one. That's how sports goes, folks. That's just what I'm saying. Any given day in any given sport, somebody else can win other than the favorites. And you know what? When everybody starts practicing, and then the coaches, you know, some teams just have better coaches than others. Some teams that the coach just wills their team to win. You know, and some teams just have better players, and sometimes they overshadow the coach because they just take over and win. And then when you get a good coach with good players, you know, they win a lot. Sometimes they just have a bad night. You know, we've been watching my nephew Eli play ball all year. One of their best players, they played this Saturday night in a region, I don't know, in a district game. But he, this guy's one of the best pure shooters I've ever seen, and his form is just perfect. And he went 0 for 13, I believe they said, from the three-point line, and actually was 3 for 20 for the whole game. I mean, you could just see him shooting. It was just terrible. Another night we went Western play and he had like 28. I mean, that just happens, you know, and especially in basketball or, you know, football, you get after those guys a little and have to throw the ball a little earlier, have to hold it a little longer, scramble. All that stuff makes a big difference. So, you know, just different teams match up against different players better than others. And that's just part of the game, period, within itself, no matter – you know, what sport it is, people can just have a bad day or have a bad game. What you can hope for is that, you know, like what happened with my nephew's team, is they still won. You know, their best player, best shooter, I ain't going to say he's their best player, but he's their best shooter, averages more than anybody else. He had the worst game I've ever seen him play, but yet they still won. So, you know, that's just sometimes is other people stepping up, and, you know, maybe when those other people can't step up or an injury here or there, you know, then you get this kind of stuff. And that's just what's crazy is Tennessee gets beat by Missouri, and then they go beat the number one team, and they done beat the number one team, I think, this year. And, you know, then then Missouri gets clobbered by somebody. I mean, they got beat by like 20 or 30 the very next game. It's crazy, you know. So, and then last night I seen on SportsCenter that the UConn girls barely beat Creighton or something girls. And, I mean, it was a tight game. UConn girls have been dominant forever. I mean, I think Geno Auriemma is the best women's coach ever. You know, and I know a lot of Tennessee fans that argue with me over that, but, I mean, I think they said last night they'd lost back-to-back games for I can't remember in how many years. And they about lost three. I mean, they had to pull one out at the end, like 2 or 3 seconds left to win the game. That's just the way sports is, you know, and it's unfortunate a lot of times. And I'll tell you something, in basketball, you know, it don't really hurt you that bad. Now, I don't know what it did to UConn if they would have lost, but now this particular game I was talking about, Grant Hensley, he's one that didn't shoot the ball well. He's played for Unicoi County, which my nephew Eli plays on. Now, that game was really important. It didn't matter. I mean, it wasn't a season-ending game, but it was they won that game. They split the conference. They tied for the conference. If they'd have lost it, then they'd have tied for second place. So it was definitely a huge game. But the difference is in basketball, you play so many games, you play at least two games a week. Football, you know, especially in women's, you lose a game, it might be 2 weeks before you get to play again. And then that one game might really, really hurt you. So football's a little bit different, especially on the women's level than anything. But in college as well, you look what a loss does in college football. It may knock you plumb out of the playoff picture, you know. So there's lots of stuff that happens within these games, no matter what sport it is, that it don't matter who's supposed to win on paper, who the analysts say. It's if the ball don't go through the hoop. I mean, I've seen the ball go in and out more this year than ever before. You see drop passes. You see great catches. All that stuff. I mean, it's just human mistakes. And unfortunately, it happens in some sports, and it can just really kill you in others. You know, it's not the end of it. But that's part of the game, you know. That's part of the excitement of it, the ups and the downs, and, you know, the highs and lows. You go from, my nephew's team, they've been a couple games that they really dominated. But, man, every single game they've won, and they've won a bunch. They won 20 or 21 games this year. And they lost 7, I believe. And every game they win, man, is like down to the last minute or two, you know, or overtime. Sort of went about like our season last year in football. You winning in overtime or winning by a point or, you know, by sticks, something like that, you know. And I was just telling Jennifer, you know what, they don't have what I would call one dominant player that can just take over the game. Now, this guy's a good enough shooter that if they leave him open, he can take over the game. But as far as taking a guy that can go off the dribble and create a shot, beat somebody, you know, they don't have that kind of player. Not. They have two true freshmen start and then three seniors. So, and all of them average in double figures. And between the five of them, they average like 61 points a game. Their best, the best sub, he broke his arm, so he's out. So, you know, that's going to hurt him a little bit, but the other guy's getting a lot of playing time. But, you know, I was telling Jennifer, I was like, you know what, they might go pretty deep. They might get on a run here in this tournament and go further than we think, just because they're, you know, they can all score, and they don't have this one dominant player that people just shut one person down and, you know, can make everybody else beat you. Is, you know, they shoot it pretty good at times. And my nephew, of course, he hustles like you wouldn't believe. He plays his high end off. He's not the best shooter in the world. I think he averages like 12 or 14 a game. But he gets all the loose balls, bunch of rebounds, steals. They got a big guy inside that can play. And this boy can shoot. Grant Hensley can really shoot. And those two freshmen are really good. So, you know, just because they got not a great team, but a pretty good team, they can be dangerous. If they go play bad, of course, they get exited pretty quick. But if they play great, I think they might have a great opportunity to make a good run down the stretch, you know. So, who knows? They're young kids, and anything can happen. You know, we know how that goes. We know all too well how dealing with youngsters can go in sports. So, you know, this is my nephew's senior year. And I'm not sure he's going to play college ball anywhere, but I think they're at least guaranteed 3 more games. And then after the third game, it's win or move on, win or go home. So, you know, I guess how far they go will determine how long his basketball career lasts if he decides to play or not. But that's just the way sports is, you know, and that it happens. And, you know, it's like the Super Bowl, and that guy will say, oh, man, they're going to blow him out. And, I mean, I really did think that Philadelphia had the edge, and I thought that they might win the game. But I did think if it got out of hand, that Philadelphia would win it. I thought they had more. Their defense was better and could support their offense. But I thought if it was a closer game, Kansas City would win it because they just sort of hung around. That's the way sports are, and that's the way people are, you know. And if you could have just seen this guy, you know, he was just like scratching his head, and he just kept looking over at us I just can't believe that. Like, they ain't blowing them out. I can't believe Kansas City went. And I'm like, you know, I guess he bet 600 on just because of what he had heard all these people say, you know. And Jennifer told him, said, I'll tell you right now. Of course, at one time his head was sweating really bad. And she was like, I'll tell you right now, if I had six, you're a lot calmer than I would be if I had $600 riding on this game. So, and I'm with her, you know. Shoot, that's a lot of money. And that, all he had to win by was 1.5, so 2 points, and he'd won the game. And about halftime, you know, and I said, you know, then, hey, if they don't come out and do something, this game will get ugly quick just because of the aggressive style that they play. But he was like, yeah, he's like, that money's in the bag. And then Kansas City scores, and then they come down and get a field goal, and then Kansas City scores. I mean, if you could have seen him, it was hilarious. But, man, I love them kind of games, but I love watching people like that, you know, that think they know it all and sit there and just tell you all this stuff they know, and then turns out they don't know anything. And they're looking around like, what's happened here? You know, this ain't the way this is supposed to go, you know. And it's just like last year, we were a team from Minnesota come down, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And, folks, this is a true story. Come down to play us in the first game of the year. And, I mean, the coin toss had done happen. And one of their coaches walks over to the sideline and says, "Hey, do you think that instead of waiting, I don't know, whatever, however long you got to wait, I'd have to look the rules to get, I guess, in the fourth quarter to keep the clock rolling." He's like, "Hey, you know, you think, can we agree that if this game gets out of hand, that we can get the clock running early?" And they just expected to blow us plumb out. And, you know, and I just looked at him, and I'm like, "You think you're going to beat us by 40? And he just sort of looked at me like, "Yeah, you know, I guess. And he's like, I just wonder. I said, "We'll discuss that if it happens." And, you know, in the game, you know, and everybody's telling me when we get to the game, "Oh, you better be ready to play. This team, man, they got all these stud athletes over there. You or to see them." And listen, we don't have a bunch of fast girls, but we're tough. And, you know, that's the way my teams are going to play, is tough. And that's what I told all them. I said, they probably do, but they better be tough. Well, you know, and everybody's telling me, "Oh, they're fast, this, that, and other." Well, a girl that played on our team, her husband and one of their friends work the chains, and the chains are on the visitor side, and we're over there, and we're winning this game. And not only are we winning it, we're not on the scoreboard now. We're not dominating it. But time of possession and yardage game, we're just running the ball up and down the field, you know, just 3 or 4 or 5 yards of time. We're stopping them on defense, and they're over there looking at each other. What happened? This ain't the way this is supposed to go. You know, that's the first thing I thought of when this guy's over the other night, is, you know, saying this ain't the way it's supposed to go. I guess they thought they were just going to come down here and blow us out by 40, because the guy just came across the field and asked me that. And I went right to the team, and I said, "It's like, what do you want?" I said, "Y'all wouldn't believe this." I said, "Well, they think they're going to blow us out by 40 and want the clock to run all the time after when the second half starts." And they're like, "No way." But I swear, folks, that's the truth. And I just can't get over that. I mean, there's been times that we've played teams that I just, you know, knew we were that much better than them, that we were going to beat them like a drum. But I'd never, never go over and ask somebody that, and then especially get beat. Not only once, we beat them up there as well. So, you know, all these teams, man, talk a lot of crap. You just can't deliver. It don't matter, you know. And they did, listen, they did have a lot of talent. They did have some really fast girls. They had 4 girls on their team faster than anybody we had on our team. But I'll tell you what they didn't have. They didn't have the toughness that we have. And you know, they didn't have the – we made them play our style of football. They didn't play their style of football. I guess they were – I don't know what they were afraid of, but they didn't play – when they played other teams, they played a different style than they played on us. And, you know, that's just the way it is. And, you know, I just – well, every time I kept hearing this guy say that Super Bowl, I kept thinking of those guys on the sidelines just looking at one another like, what's happened? You know, I guess they'd watch film on us and just thought they could run over us and thought with the team they had, they'd beat us by 40. And, you know, there's only been one team ever beat us by 40, and we shouldn't have ever played them to begin with. So, that, you know, and I'm not saying it won't happen again, but I'll just tell you right now, you beat us by 40, you're doing something. Because I ain't going to let it happen if I can help it at all. So, but nevertheless, it's been a pretty good night on here. Got to talk about a lot of things. Didn't really have a whole lot of stuff. Like I said, I'm usually really prepared. I like to write down a bunch of stuff to talk about and get some ideas and take some questions and throw some and get some answers, I mean, for questions I ask. And like last week, we had Darren call in and talk about his boy. Speaking of his boy wrestling, my friend Terry, they had a regional wrestling tournament last year. He had four guys qualify. Man, he's one of a kind. He's like me. He pours his heart into it and, you know, don't get nothing but, you know, don't get nothing but satisfaction from watching his kids win out of it, you know, and that's just a rarity. Works harder than anybody else. That's a rarity, but I'm usually better prepared than I was tonight. Nevertheless, we still got to talk about a lot of good things, talk about a lot of football. That's what we like, and competition and how that goes. We are going to be working on this broadcast deal. I hope to get it going where we can get some of these games up going and talk about them on here. And like I said, we can include more people, reach out to them, but especially when we go to out-of-town games that people can't make. So should be really good. Next week I'll try to be a little prepared. I'll try my best to get some people on here. It's just been crazy last few weeks here and there. And like I said, on the spur of the moment, my buddy called me and I had to go help him out. And I just barely did make it home. I ain't even made it into the house yet. So, but I had a good time. Anytime we can talk about football and women's football and what's around the corner for us, that's so exciting. You can't beat it. Again, as always, thank JC Hawk Sports Network for giving us this opportunity. Without her, it wouldn't be possible. So thank her and Jim, for she's always getting me all these stats and everything like that, so I sure appreciate all that and her and JC Hawk Sports Network for giving us this great opportunity. And we'll get something going next week. Until next Thursday, we'll see you then.